thanks everyone for joining us for our World Peace Diet Circle call for December 17th, 2020. This is the third Thursday of December, and this is Dr. Will Tuttle, and it's just wonderful to see your beautiful faces or feel your presence on the call together. I know these are really more and more challenging times, it seems like. It just keeps getting more interesting all the time. And we're still in Florida. I'm at my sister's house right now and with my mother, 92 years old, and as you've heard me talk about before, she's still with us, and I'm glad to say that. It's quite a lesson in letting go and seeing beyond the forms. You know, I just remember her as this vibrant bundle of energy, and she still perks up and now and then says something, but she's very tired and has, she has breathing problems and has something on her back now. It's really sore. I think part of it's bed sores, maybe. So we're just praying with her. I'm playing the piano for her when I can every day when I'm here. We're kind of coming and going a little bit. I'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. So, it's delightful to be with you. Thanks, everyone, again, for joining us. I'm waiting for a few more people to come. I think we'll go ahead and jump right in here. So we always seem to need every minute we have together. So remember, this is our one time during the month for the World Peace Diet facilitators and World Peace Diet Circle to really talk about issues, answer questions. The first Thursday of the month, now we're doing something a little bit more meditative. But this is still meditative, but more grounded in the real world, in a sense. So if you have questions or comments or concerns, always feel free to press *6 to unmute, and we're happy to share together. That's really what this is all about. So usually what we like to do in the beginning is to just do a short meditation to get started. And so we have the chat is turned on. If there's anything that you think I should know or you want other people to know, just type it in under chat. If my, I really appreciate it if my audio isn't loud enough, I can kind of hold it. I think that's some maybe helps. I'm not sure. But anyway, I'll be happy to respond to anything in the chat box. And yes, so just sending love to everyone, all of you. So let's just, it's just a couple of minutes past 3. So I'd like to go ahead and invite us now to join together in our time of meditation. So for this time, feel free, wherever you happen to be, to perhaps close your eyes and turn your attention within, if that's possible. And let's take a moment now and just give thanks together for our precious human life, this precious opportunity that we each have to be here on this earth at this unparalleled time in history, when it seems that something is really getting attacked and falling apart and new things are emerging. We don't really know what. So this whole 2020 has been such a roller coaster for so many people. And through thick and thin, here we are with our vegan commitment to animals, with our vegan commitment to justice, to freedom, to kindness and compassion for all expressions of life, with our vegan commitment to ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harmfulness to other living beings, that through thick and thin, this is the unwavering beacon that guides us in our lives, the unwavering lodestone, they sometimes say, the marker that points to the true north, where we, in our heart of hearts know we yearn to travel to a world of greater kindness and love and peace and gentleness and mercy, and to be part of that, to be an instrument and a voice for those who have no voice, an instrument of peace and harmony and healing, a force for awakening. As best we can during these challenging times. So we give thanks for the vow that we've all in some way or other made in our hearts to follow the calling, the inner calling to kindness and compassion for other vulnerable beings, no matter what the cost is, no matter what the pressure may be from the outer world, that we commit to an ethical and moral stance, not just for our own benefit, but really for the benefit of all living beings. And we give thanks for each other. We give thanks for the whole web of life here, and for the other activists that we're connected to, or advocates, or spiritual seekers, meditators, lovers, healers. And give thanks, knowing that we are part of an awakening on this earth of human consciousness to bless not only ourselves, but to bless the whole web of life. So let's take a moment and just breathe together. Great, just breathing, enjoying the silence, knowing that out of silence, inspiration can emerge, a new direction can shine forth in our consciousness. So taking time for silence and taking time for nature, taking time for reflection in the middle of our busy lives. It's good to take time for reflection on the eternal truths and on our commitments and on the beauty of this earth, the beauty of this life that we share, the possibilities that we can see, that we can feel, that we know are available, that we can each one of us help to activate in our relationships with others, in our daily lives. Each one of us can help be an example of the world we would like to have for our children and grandchildren. So we give thanks for all of the many efforts that are being made right now to pierce the veils of illusion and to shine light on the darkness and corruption, and to bring healing to the wounds of the vulnerable. And we think especially of the animals of this earth. They so often get forgotten when our human need seems so great. Remember, as we are right in the middle now of the holiday season, the tremendous suffering that animals endure for food and for testing, for entertainment and for products of various kinds. Hold them in our hearts with love and ask for forgiveness for its human ignorance and blindness. And holding in our hearts all the other human beings who are suffering in various ways, and sending forth now from our hearts the light of loving kindness into the whole world. Let's just breathe that together, breathing and radiating love and kindness into the infinite web of relations. With every exhalation, breathing and radiating love and kindness to all living beings, even those who may be difficult for us for some reason. Holding all beings in our heart with loving kindness. And breathing and radiating compassion into the infinite web of relations, knowing that compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. That our compassion is joined with the compassion of everyone on this call and of countless others. And you see the whole earth bathed in the light of compassion, and caring, mercy, courageous action for healing, great compassion. And now with every exhalation, we radiate joy into our world, the great joy of being, the joy that needs no reasons in the outer world. Just breathing and radiating joy and seeing the whole earth bathe in the light of joy, the truth of joy. And finally, we breathe and radiate peace and harmony into the world. With every inhalation, we engender a feeling of peace and harmony and allow our body and mind to fill the sense of peace, serenity, and harmony, abiding in this moment right now, the only moment there is. From this point of power, this present moment, we radiate peace and harmony and see the whole earth bathed in the light of peace and in the truth of infinite and eternal peace. That whatever seems to be happening in the outer world, at a deeper level, there's always love, compassion, joy, and peace. Harmony and freedom, awareness. And we close our meditation now with a sense of gratitude, again, for this precious opportunity that we have of a human life, for each other, for all our loved ones, for the whole human family and the infinite web of life and of all beings, celebrating on this beautiful earth, facing challenges that arise out of our past actions. May our present actions create a future of peace and love for all beings. We give thanks for this moment and for each other and for this time, knowing this is so, and so it is. Okay, so again, it's an honor really to be with you all, and thanks again for your commitment to the vegan path. Now, the vegan path is really not for, what's a good word, not for sissies, right? Not for people who are not willing to really dig deep and ask the hard questions. It's very, very demanding, I think, because it requires us to have kindness and compassion for others, even if they're attacking us, or ridiculing us, and to include people we don't like or disagree with in our consciousness of kindness and compassion for them as well. So in many ways, I think it just calls us to step out of the conditioning of our society, which kind of reduces everything to an object. But I'm here, I'm this physical body walking around and other physical bodies walking around, and we're talking and texting and writing and reacting to all of our, I all have different programming. I mean, to me, it's amazing. We get along as well as we do, really, when you think about it. And programming is, and the society is so competitive, and the role models are so thick, and the corruption and the propaganda are so incredibly violent and abusive. It's really, I think, a tribute to our basic human wisdom and decency that we were able to keep it all together as well as we are. But I think, as I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, that right now humanity is under the most ferocious attack in the history of the world. And it's really an all-out attack on our very existence in many ways. And so for us to be able to continue to be a voice for animals and for healing and so forth, it's really, I think, also important for us to just sort of understand the bigger picture. There is a lot going on. I wanted to, in the beginning here, I'm trying to see if she's here. Marlene, are you here? Please unmute if you are here. I talked to Marlene earlier today. Yeah, Marlene.
Hi.
Oh, good. You're good. Thanks. Okay. Because I think most of you know Marlene. She's a wonderful person, I have to say. We've had the opportunity to meet Marlene in person, which doesn't always happen when we're doing things through computers all the time. But Marlene's a multi-site facilitator for many years, who also many years ago started Vegan Nation, her own vegan radio program in the Worcester, Massachusetts area. And she's had an amazing, I think, guests on her program over the years, and really is unflinching. She's one of the most unflinching people in her willingness to just speak the truth as she sees it, and to encourage other people to do the same, and to see more deeply what's really causing the problems that we're having. So I really, Madeline and I both just love being in Marlene's presence, and it's great, I think, that she can be with us on this call. We've never really heard from Marlene directly too much, so I was thinking this is a perfect opportunity when things really get tough. We're going to ask Marlene. What do you think, Marlene? how are you doing? I just talked to her this morning, Marlene. You were telling me you have a big snowstorm, and you're taking care of your animals. I mean, Marlene has bovine, cow, at least one cow, I think, and horses, and you can just imagine you're out there in the raging wind and snow and protecting your cows and horses. I mean, what a thing. And bringing the vegan message in spite of lots of challenges. I know there's been so many challenges really for all of us, but we're seeing it all the time. So, Marlene, I was just wondering if you could maybe just share a little bit with all of us. What are some of the insights that have come to you over the last year or so with all these changes we've had, and in some of your interviews with people on your show, and some of your own research, and just anything you'd like to share with everyone? Because, like I say, you're one of the most seasoned vegan activists, really, that I know. And it's really just an opportunity, I think, precious to hear some of your wisdom. So that's kind of an open general question, but if that's good enough, if you feel comfortable, that would be great. You can share some of your...
Yes. Yes, thank you, Will. Thank you, Madeline. And thank you all on the call today. I appreciate you greatly. And I'm so honored that we're all together. And knowing that really keeps me going and keeps me inspired, because like you were just saying, Will, it's not easy. This road of the vegan path Yet I think it's obviously the most important thing to do and the right thing to do. But yes, it's a challenge. So I really think the connection with all of us helped tremendously. And yes, I started Vegan Nation in 2015. So I'm really grateful for this opportunity, yes, to have a vegan radio program. And what's exciting about it too is that it is a radio station that has, it's community radio, so there's a wide range of music and different types of news stories, and I'm the only vegan one, which is no surprise, but that I'm really grateful that the director includes Vegan Nation programs in their newsletter, their radio station newsletter, which goes out to, I would say, 99.9% non-vegans. And so it's really exciting to me every time I see amongst all the music listings and all the art shows and all the food bank work in Worcester. So it's really everything that's going on in Worcester, which is the second largest city in New England. And there's the Vegan Nation poster, and he'll link the replay the show and things like that too. So I think, oh, that's just great, because like all of us, we want to get the message out. And I always keep in mind that it's not about us getting other people to believe what we believe. It's about protecting and serving. We want to stop the violence and stop the cycle of suffering. So the victims, we constantly want to be working for veganism, yet it's not just the animal victims. Like your work with the World Peace Diet is what exposed me to this philosophy, and is deeply embedded in me now, that it's the boomerang effect. Like you said, it's that root cause, that herderic society of the other ills and suffering to the human arena. And so we need to address it at the root. And so, again, I'm really grateful for all that. So with the show, it's once a week, so since 2015. So, yeah, I'm really grateful for many guests, many who all of you might know, because they're popular in the vegan movement, both nationally or internationally, but also people who are in the backwoods somewhere, and they're very active with veganism, and so I'm really happy to have the lesser-known people to have a voice as well, and I always include music, because I really love music, and I believe in the power of music, and so it's really exciting that there's more and more vegan music going on. So I'll just start with the recent shows. What last week was my interview with Ingrid Newkirk, the founder and president of PETA. And that was very interesting, because I really didn't know much about her at all. So very, very interesting and very powerful. And then today, by a beautiful coincidence, is I had featured your article, which everyone can read it on worldpeacediet.com, which your article that you had published in May of this year, and it was titled COVID-19, Our Banquet of Consequences. And so read that on air, which ended up being about 12 minutes, and I played your beautiful music with Madeline, the flute and the piano, from your album Inspiration. So that was the underbed. So that was nice. And then the rest of the show, I featured other, it was all vegan songs, which I usually don't have an opportunity to play a full song, never mind five other songs, because it's usually snippets of a song, because it's mainly interviews. And so I'll like to put in a little music. So I ended up having full vegan music from different genres of music. And then, oh, and if anyone would like to hear any of the shows, and especially today's, since it was the Will's essay, COVID-19, Our Banquet of Consequences, that is in the archives. So there's two places if anyone's interested. One is my website, which is vegansradio.wordpress.com. So it's vegansradio.wordpress.com. And then the other one is on the radio station index. So it's more like a skeleton index. It's not really a website, but that's where all the direct MP3s to the archive show are, and that's WCUW, so it's CU like Clark University, which actually that radio station was started at Clark back in 1920. Then it ended up being community radio, so it's WCUW.org/Vegan Nation.
Two N's, right? Vegan Nation. great.
Yes.
Okay. And
yes.
That's the archive.
Yes. The archive. And so when Vegan Nation airs is every Thursday at 4:30 p.m. So if anyone's interested in listening to the on-air broadcast, that's, well, the radio station is 91.3 FM, but that's in Massachusetts. So all radio stations now are obviously online, and so this one is too. So that can be heard worldwide, and that's wcuw.org/listen, and that's the direct link to the 24/7 radio broadcast out of WCUW in Worcester.
Right.
And that's on Thursdays at 4:30 p.m., which is Eastern time.
Wow, so you've been,
and then
you've really been keeping at it. I mean, for 5 years every week, that's a huge commitment. So I just want to applaud you for that, just to just keep doing that, through such, ups and downs of all kinds. Any other, things come to mind? I didn't want to interrupt you there, so.
Well, next week, the 24th, Christmas Eve, I'm interviewing a couple in West Virginia, the name of Joseph and Jessica Seckman. They are a lovely couple, and they are the messenger of the Universal and Apostolic Church. So they follow it's not the Gnostic Gospels, but there's another name for it, something like the Gospel of the Holy Twelve. And so it's basically what they have portrayed or shared, relayed, is that Jesus spoke of God as father and mother, about being vegan, about not using animals, not eating animals, and they're very connected to nature. And so I just think they're really fascinating, and they're very much into natural foraging, even winter foraging. So they'll be given tips on all the different plant foods that we can find in the woods. So anyway, they're very, very special. So I'm really happy that they'll be for the Christmas Eve special.
Wow.
And then the following.
That's appropriate. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really something. And then the following week is a woman in the UK, Manchester, United Kingdom. And she has written a book that was published by Vegan Publishers. And Vegan Publishers happens to be right here in Massachusetts, Danvers, Massachusetts. And Casey Taft and his wife, and she wrote a book called Veducated, A Teacher's Guide to Vegan Inclusive Teaching, to help educators to work with their curricula and syllabi so that it can be inclusive for any vegans in the classroom. So I think that that's really great, because I really think that what's necessary is the step-by-step actions, the practical approaches. What can we do to veganize this world? And it's in many, many ways and venues. And so I'm really excited to speak with her. She's also an educational consultant for primary education. So I'm really happy that she wrote that book and that Vegan Publishers published it.
Right. Wow. Well, good. Gosh. I mean, this is just this is just 3 weeks out of hundreds you've done. So we could talk for many hours and hours and hours about all the people. But you're right. I've noticed that about you. I've loved that about your show. You interview well-known people that everybody has heard of in the movement. And then you're great at finding these people that are fascinating and interesting and very important, I think, and as part of the vegan movement, who no one's ever heard of. Or who more people I think should know about and give them an opportunity to express themselves. It's really wonderful to see that. So does anyone have any comments or questions for Marlene? By the way, you can always press *6 and chime in here. This is an open forum. So feel free to take the opportunity. We have Marlene with us, and I think it's fantastic. There's so much we can learn from each other. I think that's really the whole point of a human life, is to come and learn from each other, right? That's where each other's teachers, and however we can do that. So, yes, anyone else want to ask a question or say anything? And Marlene, do you have anything more you'd like to share? I mean, I've left it very open. Do you want to say anything at all more about I mean, I know you're such a tremendous force for veganism. You're also one of the only vegans who's been, I think, very savvy about the situation with the pandemic and all that, and you've been bringing that, I think, to awareness somewhat as well, which is much more challenging, I think, in some ways. It's a more of a divisive issue, of course. So, and I really appreciated that about you're very courageous in just speaking up about that, even on WCUW, which is basically mainstream radio.
Right, right. Yes, thank you. Well, I'm very honored to have included Claire Mann in Sydney, Australia, the vegan psychologist Claire Mann,
right,
and her co-host Mark Donadue, who was the founder of World Vegan Day in Melbourne, Australia. They run a webinar series called Second Stage Dystopia, What Else Don't We Know? And discussing many things that's going on with the global crisis. And from the alternative view that, I don't like to use the word alternative, but I don't, what a view that is censored all around the world. And so I think that I give them a lot of credit too, so I'm really happy to be able to feature them on Vegan Nation as well to get the word out that is not being heard otherwise. And so, yes, I'm really grateful that my introduction to veganism was through the World Peace Diet, because I see it as a holistic approach and that it covers everything. And so that helped me to understand that veganism is a wide, wide variety of ahimsa, of nonviolence, of harmlessness. And so it covers everything, every aspect of life. And so I think that sometimes veganism can be misunderstood in its focus rather than its scope. So the focus is the animals, yet the scope is much more than that. So I think the World Peace Diet covers the whole scope. And so that helped me when we are living in this crisis time that we're living in, to be able to be grounded in veganism and to see it, like you said, to see beyond the veil of the illusion or the delusion, and to have the courage to speak up, because I know that all of us had to make that decision. It's like, okay, I can be quiet, and then this, you know, it's like a false harmony because I'm not expressing what I really feel. And I said, no, I'm going to speak out. I'm going to really say what I feel and what I think, and that's it. That's what it's about, freedom of speech, to share our thoughts and our opinions. And I will share one thing that happened today that I thought of, something that helped me with patience, because like all of us, it can be frustrating when we just see so much violence going on, and there's the violence at the root to the animals, and then of course being the violence in the human arena of the slavery, the oppression, the exploitation, all of it, was with this snowstorm, which was horrendous. It caused ice on my car. It was so thick, and two things. I needed to open up the trunk, and I wasn't able to because it was iced over, and I needed gas, and I wasn't able to open the gas little compartment thing there. And so luckily, I was able to have access to a garage that was heated by a wood stove and a generator and a wood stove with a fan on the wood stove that supplied heat to this garage. And so I was very fortunate for that. So when I was in there, it took about 15 minutes or so, between 15 and 25 minutes for everything to thaw out. But while it was happening and I was waiting, it was just so bizarre that I had this insight that helped me, because I've been feeling frustrated that the vegan world isn't manifesting sooner. It is coming along, but was that I thought of the ice as like the violence, because I really do think storms are a form of violence. They're just dangerous and, oh. So I thought of the ice as the violence, and there it is, thickly planted in our world, in our community, in society, everywhere. And that I feel like veganism, the true heart of veganism, which is unconditional love, is the light. And you mentioned at the beginning of the call tonight about being the light. And I think of that is that it's our love, our light, that is melting that ice of hardness, that ice of violence, that ice of frozenness. And it's going to happen, but it's just going to take time. And so that helped me think, okay, just be patient. It's just going to take time, but it is going to melt. Our light of every human, and in the case of veganism, really shining that light to really speak out and help, is going to melt it. It's just going to take time. And right before getting into the garage, the sun came out for just a little bit, and it was at 3 o'clock. And then it suddenly got covered by clouds. But in that little minute or two that the sun, the ice started to melt on the car, but not over the trunk and over the gas cap area because it was way too thick. And I just thought, that's it. The sun, the light, it melts it. And we are doing the same. So I just wanted to share that little insight.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful insight, Marlene. Thanks. Because I think sometimes we can get caught up in our the issues, and then we, in a way, we stop shining the light. And that's really what you're saying, is that that's our main job, you know, to shine the light of loving kindness, no matter what happens. And I've had to remind myself of that sometimes. It's like, if someone is attacking, you know, there's a tendency to contract and then say something that would, or maybe not attack, you know, either attacking or criticizing or blaming or ridiculing or whatever it is, or ignoring, and we have a tendency to do the same back. And I just love that teaching. I think it's a universal spiritual teaching. Jesus talked about it, I think, and I think Buddha, other great teachers, but basically the idea, the more hatred or violence or anger comes at me, the more love and joy and kindness will flow from me, right? They're just the more, you know, the more it comes, the more I'm going to do that. And it's a really a great practice, I think, to try to like consciously do that. When someone really throws something sort of negative, you're like, all right, more negative, even more positive. and to hold that in ourselves, because I think when we're on this planet, we are tested. You know, that's part of it, is we're tested. And through the testing is really how I think how we make progress. So thanks for sharing that beautiful insight, Marlene, of how the warmth can melt the ice and you can get some gas in your car after all. Wow, I'm telling you, that's sobering. You know, for me now, we're here in Florida, we're complaining if it's, you know, 55 degrees, too cold. So, great. All right. Anyone would like to ask a question or make a comment about everything we've
heard? Yeah, this is Lily. I'd like to make a comment.
Yes. Please.
I just love Marlene. I love you, Marlene, and I've missed our times together. I'm hoping to have a more time to put up World Peace Diet Sunday again, but I just love Marlene. I love her humility. I love just the way she interacts with the people she interviews. And
right.
I love Marlene. She's marvelous, and I really appreciate getting to know her. And I too, became a vegan about the first, or maybe 2014. So
wow.
It was, I guess, the World Peace Diet had just recently, not 2014.
2014.
I've been... So 14 years. See, I'm a little bit mixed up here. I have a lot going on, and but I'm just
is that right?
Really, way back what? Pardon?
Was it way back in 2006? I think.
2006, exactly. Yeah. 2006, and I. So Marlene and I are kind of, you know, a couple of your babies here. But Marlene has always done what I have really aspired, wanted to do. I wanted to have a radio program. It's just that I am one of those backwoods people that she spoke of that if my husband were able to be, you know, my age, which he's not, then I could do it. But I am really called to take care of him, and I thank God I still have him, you know. But Marlene, right. I love you, and I always have. And just thanks for being a light in this world. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily. I love you, too. Thank you very much.
Now, Lily is really out there, with, you know, off the grid and many miles out on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere. So it's great that you're with us, Lily. Thanks. And it's just, Lily still is without a computer. You know, good for you.
And I'm taking care of a 95-year-old husband who became a vegan at 81 and loves our vegan food and is still ambulatory. But I have to take care of him. You know, I'm holding him up right now because we just had a shower. And, you know, it's just a different kind of life than we used to have, because he did everything on the property before. And now I do everything, you know, and take care of him as well. But I know, being a vegan all these years, I know I'm healthier than most people and younger than most people my age, and I'm 73, so I've still got lots of good years, I hope, to continue to spread the vegan message. And I spread it every chance I get in any way that I can. I just spread it wherever I go. And it's always, have you read the World Peace Diet? Thank you, Jim. You did that perfectly. I'll get off the phone, but I'm just, that's one reason I can't seem to fit in doing World Peace Diet Sunday, because at this time of day, I'm usually in the middle of, I'll think it through. I really want to do it again. I loved it.
Yeah, it was always fantastic. I know, for those of you who don't know, Lily, for several years, read the World Peace
Almost Diet. 5 years. We had a weekly,
reading the World Peace
but,
Diet.
But see, Marlene is doing this, I mean, the tenacity, and she knew nothing about radio, all this, engineering, and she just was motivated by her wanting to spread the message. And I too wish, when I first read the book, I thought, well, this book has been written. The whole world should go vegan within a couple of years, you know, because it certainly made our world go vegan. My animals and I and my husband and friends, lots of friends that, you know, they all went vegan. I would think that the whole world, if they read the World Peace Diet, would go vegan. That's what I would think.
They don't really read it.
You know, they might read one or two pages of it and say, oh, yeah, I read that. I've read it 8 times myself and 4 times aloud, you know, at the World Peace Diet Sunday. 4 of those times was aloud. And we always read it aloud. We always read it. My husband and I read it to each other before dinner. And I'm going to start listening to your version of it again, you know, you reading it aloud, in preparation for maybe starting World Peace Diet Sunday. I want to take up this whole time with this, so I'm going to hang up now. I want to be...
Okay. Thanks so much, Lily. I think, if anyone could do it, you'd be the first one to literally recite the entire World Peace Diet from memory.
Yeah, right.
All right. So, gosh, great. Yeah. Anyone else have any thoughts to share at the moment here before we go on to a few other things? I mean, it's kind of an open time. I know it could go, but, Marlene, you're right. The tenacity. And I love that about Marlene. She didn't know anything about radio or anything. Just that beginner's mind that we talk about in the Zen tradition of, oh, why not? I can do anything. Try it out. And that's how great things happen. Just, I do it with both feet.
Yeah.
It's a great
example. Oh, sorry, Tammy. Hi.
Tammy, hi. Yes, wonderful Tammy from the far north of Canada.
Yeah, we got a lot of snow today. It was very windy and cold, but beautiful. Snowshoeing.
Snowshoeing? Is that right? Uh-huh.
Snowshoeing and cross-country skiing, yeah.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, that's it is. So, you know, boxes now and get stuff done, because I've been writing for 4 years. So,
can you speak a little louder? It's really hard to hear you. You're very soft, at least to me.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Yeah, okay. That's good. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. I was just saying that. I said now I get a chance to, you know, boxes, because I've been writing steady for about 4 years. So,
wonderful book.
Yeah. Yeah, and I finished, I decided to print off a couple of my poetry books too. I was going to read you guys a poem, but I don't have it at hand, so I won't. Quite beautiful. It's called Born Love. Maybe next time. But I'm on a summit right now, and it's an Indigenous summit. I think it's run by Chief Phil Wayne Jr. And he's done a lot of work with Aboriginals, medicine people and shamans and whatnot. And so there's ceremony every night, and they have a fire burning in Ecuador, because they're saying this is prophesized as some of the most powerful time on the planet, that this major portal is going to be opened on the 21st of Aquarian, and it's like with Jupiter and Saturn, and the light will not be suppressed again. And that is their message over and over again from every corner of the world, the shamans from every corner of the world. But what I really appreciate about it is, and I can get the name of it, but it's the enlightenment. I'll find the link for it. But Chief, Phil Lane Jr. is continually, and Salash Rao is also on it. We got a window here, like with the climate healers, on the lunch hours. So Salash would have the link also. But the chief often will bring up how we need to stop animal agriculture, that it just isn't sustainable anymore, which is really nice because that was kind of like, yeah, and then right now they're showing the documentary, The Condor and the Eagle, which is a really, really beautiful documentary. I highly recommend supporting the cause because the money's going directly to the people in Ecuador and whatnot. The Condor and the Eagle is a beautiful film, and it's showing kind of what the oil companies are doing in these really remote places to these tribes. So they're just basically dumping the oil and covering it up with a little bit of soil and... but it's all being exposed right now, and they've prophesied this for 500 years that we're coming to this time, and so they're very excited about this portal that's going to be fully open by the 21st, and they have a major ceremony online on the 22nd. And you know, I feel this deeper energy this last week, as probably all of us do. You know, the more sensitive we are, sometimes it's hard to be a vegan just because of how sensitive you are. I don't know. It just makes you sensitive. But it gives me hope, you know. I've been crying a lot this week, and that's good, right? But it's hopeful, you know, and I want to hold on to that. I don't want to hold on to the other stuff about the vaccinations or mandatory lockdowns. I want to hold on to this prophecy that they've been saying, that they've been waiting for this time for over 500 years. I studied with a shaman in 2010 from Peru for 3 years. And he said, when it was the end of the Mayan calendar, he said that his teacher, who was about 90-some years old, who was way up at Quechua, way up in the mountains of Peru, that he wished he could have been here for this time, for this prophecy, because it's going to be such a beautiful time on the planet. So just a little bit of hope. I'm holding out for that. And you know, I've heard of it. I've heard it a lot over the last decade. And this is a really powerful, online event to be on right now. I'm on it off and on for the whole week. And in the final fire, they do a fire ceremony every night. And they tap in with different tribes, different chiefs and different women, a lot of women co-ops, a lot of medicine women co-ops are speaking and asking for support in their co-ops. And they're all saying the same thing, that this prophecy is the time of the biggest awakening that the planet, you know, has seen in hundreds of years. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thanks, Tammy. Yeah, that's really refreshing, you know, to hear what you're saying, in the sense that I think most of a lot of us are feeling like everything is getting worse and worse, and maybe you know, some people have said, gosh, you know, it's, to be alive during this time, this is like a real curse, and that and yet you're saying that that old guy, you know, wished that he could be alive during this time, because it's going to be the greatest time we're going through right now. So yeah, we don't know. I mean, I think whatever it is, that there's powerful lights that are bringing stuff that's been in the shadows for a long time into awareness. We've never seen so much. I don't think we've ever seen so much censorship. I mean, this amount of censorship is so off the charts. That's kind of interesting. So everybody's realizing that there's this official story. I think it's becoming hard not to know. That is, it has to be adhered to at all costs, and so people are going more and more off of the mainstream narratives. So yeah, that's a great perspective to temper, I think, some of the pain and fear and the sort of debilitating sense of dread that I think a lot of people are having when we hear about mandatory vaccinations, mandatory tracking, the crushing of the economy, the Great Reset. These things, these are all like horror story kind of things. And so it's really, I think, it's refreshing to know that there's many more angles to everything than we may be aware of from our current perspective. So, but let's see, Marlene, is there anything else you'd like to add before we move on? I didn't want to just abandon you here, so you've been great, and we've gone a little longer than we thought, but go ahead. Is there anything, any other thing, or you feel like you're pretty complete here?
Well, I'd like to thank you and thank everyone, and yes, it's encouraging to hear about this with the 21st. That's very great. And one last thought I would like to share. What I really see so clearly is that it's basically discrimination as far as a herderic society, because we see everyone really being kind to dogs, cats, and horses, for example. And yet, when I see that discrimination, and then when I think of all the problems we're having in the human arena, a lot of it is discrimination, and I think, well, there it is. It stems from that, and we're eating it, eating those vibrations, which, of course, you mentioned in the book and also in the article that you wrote on May 23rd of COVID-19, the banquet of our banquet of consequences. So I really think that's important to highlight, that if we want to stop discrimination in the human world, which is so important, then we really need to veganize the planet. So thank you all.
Right.
Thank you, Will.
All right. Thanks, Vegan Nation. We have a Vegan Nation, worldwide Vegan Nation. Thanks, Marlene. It's always inspiring to hear your perspective and to know that you're doing this every week. It's so great. You know, it's a bright spot, I'm sure, for many people. Marlene even was courageous enough to have me on a few weeks ago and let me just talk about vaccinations, and which I was glad to do, because I'm so adamantly opposed to them. I am definitely an anti-vaxxer. If you I like people say I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Well, I am an anti-vaxxer. So, but anyway, so thanks, Marlene.
Could I? Yeah. This is Christy in Nashville. Could I just mention something pretty quickly?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. It's great to be here with everybody, and I'll keep this quick, but I too agree that it's a very interesting time. I feel a very interesting energy, and I feel like in many ways, on many levels.
Oh.
And so that's inspiring me to get moving on things that matter to me in a way that maybe I've delayed. And along those lines, I wanted to mention to this group of somewhat like-minded people that I'm going to be starting kind of a mastermind group, which will be a professional development group
you know, focusing on goals and visions and accomplishments and keeping one another accountable. And so I'll leave my email address in the chat, and I just wanted to throw that out there for anyone who might be interested. My professional sort of context is that I'm a lawyer by training, which is why I'm so troubled by a lot of what's happening now. I'm also a writer, and I am a trained practitioner in internal family systems, or IFS therapy. So those are kind of the areas that I'll be working on. But people in any sort of helping or creative profession, or just anybody who's looking for a community support network to advance our mutual goals and serve as resources for one another. The tentative time that I'm planning will be 7:30 a.m. Central Time on Fridays. And so if anybody's interested, again, please just reach out to me. I anticipate holding kind of an initial session to get going and maybe set up some framework and structure for the call early in the new year. So please reach out to me. No commitment required at this point, but if you're interested, I'd love to have you be part of it. So thanks.
Wow, great. And that sounds like a wonderful opportunity. I know a little bit, not that much, a little bit about mastermind groups. I know it's just the whole idea of having a shared commitment to each one unfolding the highest for themselves and supporting each other and doing that and getting together. I think, I guess in this case, probably by internet connection. I remember way back when Masterminds first came out, I was living in Marin County back in the 80s, and they became a big thing, and I started going to mastermind groups, and we'd all sit in a circle and tell each other how much we loved each other and everything. But it really is can be very, very, very transformational, because it's more than just that. It's actually, holding each other accountable and doing it in a very supportive way. So thank you for doing that. I think that's great. And, we, as vegans, I think, very often we yearn for a deeper kind of connection with like-minded people. And, that word sangha, you know, which is the Buddhist word for community of like-minded, spiritual seekers, I think is really important. You know, the Buddha said, there's three, you know, the basic idea is there's three jewels in the Buddhist tradition. The Buddha, which is the awakened consciousness within all of us. Very often it's kind of covered over, but it's always present. The Dharma, which is the path, the teachings that help us to awaken. And then the Sangha, which is the community of people who have a yearning and an interest in awakening to the Buddha nature or the awakened nature. And the Buddha said that without the Sangha, there is no Buddha and there's no Dharma. Now, that's, I think, a very profound teaching, that the Sangha, in a sense, is the key to everything, the community, who we're hanging out with, who we're connecting with. We become like the people we surround ourselves with. And so it's very important for us to do the best we can to be to be discriminating, but also to help everyone we relate to, whether it's people at the grocery store or whatever. But to have a community of like-minded people is more precious than anything. I'm just rereading the Dhammapada, and that's one of the main themes is to be very careful and discriminating that you associate with people that you feel are on the same wavelength, essentially, and honor the calling in a similar way that you feel. And that can be hard as vegans, because very often we're, as Tammy said, we're more sensitive than average people. And so what average people perhaps just don't feel as strongly as we do, the depths of pain and suffering that animals and humans and ecosystems are going through. And it can be devastating to feel like nobody feels this. I'm the only one. And how do I get through? So I think this sensitivity is precious. It's so precious. It's what really motivates us to to help build a better world, but it's also a cross to bear in a certain way. To be that sensitive, we feel things more immediately, and it's more pain. It can be excruciating to just be aware of the suffering that's going on, and to hold that. But that's why I think it's so important to have association with people who are understanding of this. So thank you, Chrissy. That's a very practical, actual thing. And boy, 7:30, this is for early risers, 7:30 Central Time. I know you're in Tennessee, so that for me that would be 5:30 in the morning in California. Of course, we're in Florida now. It's easier, 8:30. Good reason to stay in California.
Hi, Will, is it okay?
But for now, that's...
Yeah, you can always change it, right? Good.
Yeah.
Did somebody say something? I didn't want to interrupt.
This is Andy. Is it okay to comment and question?
Okay, sure.
Now, so one is, people were, first, thank you everybody so much. I'm always so grateful for this call, and I was so grateful to hear what everyone said. And so first, I'm wondering if there are typically links, because I missed, like with the radio, I'd like to be able to connect to that, and the other person starting the mastermind, it was a little hard to hear some of the things, and do you put links down anywhere?
Okay, so you maybe aren't on the computer right now. On the computer, it's in the chat. We have the links.
I'm on the phone. I'm on the iPhone.
Phone. And what I'll do is I'll put them in the email that goes out, and it'll be also on the World Peace Diet Facebook pages, which is the group we have right now. I know people are saying we should have another group somewhere, not on Facebook. So we can look into that. I know I don't like Facebook.
Well, you have it on MeWe, right?
We have this Vegan Spirit on MeWe. We don't have a facilitator group on MeWe, but maybe that's something we could do.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
It's on Facebook still.
Oh, I didn't know we had a Vegan Spirit on MeWe.
No, we don't have a Facebook group on MeWe. We have another group. It's called Vegan Spirit.
You say Vegan Spirit on, on MeWe.
But on MeWe.
I was trying to be Vegan Spirit on Facebook, but I'm a little worried about us on Facebook.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
yeah.
Facebook like, is our friend.
We're just throwing our souls to Apple and Amazon and.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's difficult, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention something else, and I liked what the person said about if this is an awakening, yes, I know, and I'm praying it is too. So I just wanted to say, report like a little bit of positive things. Like when this whole craziness started, you know, I went mask-free for as long as I could, wherever I could, and, you know, I got a lot of verbal attacks, mainly, from customers, from, you know, managers, all that kind of stuff. And now the only place where I wear, like, a mask usually is, like, Sprouts, but it's this humongous sign. It's, like, big pink cardboard with black permanent marker, and the front of it says all kinds of things like stop censoring doctors. It lists doctors, thehighwire.com, things like that. The back part of my sign that anybody can read while I'm waiting in line behind me and or whatever, and it says Nazis require masks, and then a little bit more. Well, anyway, so I only wear that into Sprouts because, well, that's the only one that requires a mask. And a couple locations I can still get into. So, or I've been banned from others. But anyway, so the positive is no one can be in Sprouts and not see my mask. It's basically huge and visible.
You're a human billboard. That's great.
That's exactly what I am. And so the positive now is for, I don't know, maybe about a month or more, that's all I've been getting is compliments. And when people stop me and they want to read it, I give them a flyer. And so I've got the flyer. The one side is the whole thing of America's frontline doctors. And The backside is all of the resources of, you know, Peggy Hall, Dr. Pam Popper, Del Bigtree, you know, everybody, and you're on there too, of course. And so I have been giving out, I don't know, probably about at least 4 flyers a day just by going shopping. And then that doesn't include other things. But anyway, so in that sense, I think because it's been so long, people are really fed up with it. And sadly, there's a lot of people wearing masks that don't want to, that say, oh, well, I'm not getting the vaccination. And Will, I like what you said, because I totally state I am an anti-vaxxer. I'm not trying to, you know, pretend anything different. Right. But so at least I've gotten a lot. People have thanked me for my sign and when I give them the flyer. And, you know, people have been very, very grateful because it seems like if they don't have these resources, they have felt isolated and terrified and clearly like they are surrounded by people that are promoting it and they're feeling like they're the only ones. So I have been getting incredible positive response from my flyers and especially my big crazy mask. So anyway, that was it. And I'm really grateful for everybody here. It's wonderful to hear what everyone has to say. And that was all.
Thanks, Andy. Yeah, that's really good to hear. I'm glad to hear that you're getting such positive response from people. And I think you're right. You know, people are starting to wake up on this. Is more, I think, as it drags on and it becomes more obvious. Even mainstream media is now saying in certain ways that actually the PCR test and everything, this entire lockdown and the whole second wave and everything, I mean, everything, the entire corona narrative or COVID narrative is based on the PCR test. You know, people are testing positive. You don't know if you're sick or not unless you get a test. And then, oh, yeah, you're positive. But now it's becoming more and more obvious, I think, that the emperor has no clothes, that this test doesn't test anything at all. So I think it's really more and more obvious that we don't live in a society where we're allowed to really just, the media allows us to discuss issues. The media basically only allows one narrative on things. And so that's becoming more obvious for everyone. So I think all of those things are ultimately probably steps in the right direction if we can keep our spirits up and keep the vegan message going and not allow ourselves to be harmed too much by this whole thing. So one of the people on the call asked me to address that about the vaccinations. And I just, you know, I think the question that comes up is that there's more and more indication, perhaps, that it could be mandatory to be vaccinated. And, you know, I don't know. Obviously, we don't want to go that far. But what I've been saying for decades is, like Marlene said, you know, as you sow, so shall you reap. You know, if we're going to keep, we don't give these cows and pigs and chickens a choice. We don't say, well, would you like a vaccine or not? You know, I remember reading about this guy who vaccinated pigs on a pig farm. He said, I just keep using the same hypodermic needle till it finally breaks off, and then I get another one. You know, I just keep stabbing them over and over again until I get them. And livestock are vaccinated with thousands of different vaccines. I mean, that's what you do to livestock. You vaccinate them. That's what you do. You know, so if the livestock, the human livestock, are actually so gullible that they actually want to be vaccinated, then that's one thing. But for those of us who do not want to have animal and human fetal and who knows what toxic substances injected into our veins, first of all, it's completely contrary to the Nuremberg principles and to informed consent and everything, our basic human rights to do that. So if any state legislature or anyone tries to do that, there'll be all kinds of legal challenges to that. unless we get to a situation where we don't have recourse anymore, where it's, you know, martial law, or there's this kind of thing where if you want to have a job, you want to get a driver's license, you want to go shopping, then you got to get vaccinated, you got to show, you have to have your vaccine ID that you've been vaccinated, you can't travel without it. We've had Bill Gates and all these people say that you can't travel without it, you can't shop without it, you can't do anything without it. So the question that the person asked was, what would you do, Will, if that came to that? And Mel and I, we've talked about it quite a bit. We've talked about it on the call before, too. We're pretty clear, right, Madeline? Did you say we're pretty clear? Yeah, we're pretty clear. That we would do everything we could not to be vaccinated. I mean, you know, I think from what we've read about these vaccines, they may not really even be vaccines. They may be more injections of things that are not so much, have nothing to do with COVID, any disease. They have to do with other things like replicating DNA and tracking and all kinds of technologies that have already been developed over the last 20 or 30 years that they could use. So I just think, yeah, I think, you know, it's very important to spread the word so that people stand up. I think that's the most important thing, you know, just to spread the word that we're not going to acquiesce to having our freedoms taken away. And here we are. We still, it's now December 17th. I still have never worn a mask. Somehow I've managed to squeak through. We were just on Sanibel Island in Florida a couple of days ago. And this is I thought Florida is better than California, but there's still pretty much everybody's wearing masks in all the stores and shops. We're usually the only ones not wearing masks. But then when we got to Sanibel Island, which is this touristy island, and the whole island is based on tourism. You know, they need tourism to survive. And they have all these small businesses, you know, bike rentals and restaurants and all these little businesses that are all, you know, bed and breakfast and anything based on tourism. And what do? The city council passes a law requiring masks, like, and requiring every single business to put a big, huge sign up on their window. You have to have a mask by the order of Sanibel. You come onto the island, they have this big sign saying, welcome to Sanibel, wear your mask. You know, I mean, it's like, and so the consequence is that the entire economy is crashing. Nobody's going. All these businesses are shut down. They're beyond shut down. They're cleared out. They're just empty. It's the most, really quite kind of depressing. You see these whole malls, there's nothing in there. They've taken all the furnishings out. They've taken out, they're just empty. It's just like a ghost town. I mean, you know, and they're just insisting. And so this woman said, well, you can never go to the supermarket without wearing a mask. You have to wear one in the supermarket. You know, it's just one big market. So Madeline and I, we just like walked right in without a mask on and said, okay, let's see what they do. And we shopped and we bought things and did everything. And the woman at the checkout said, you know, where's your mask? So we just talked and said, you know, we don't wear them and we have an exemption from it. And she looked at us like, well, what the heck? Okay. But I think, you know, it's just important to not, from my point of view anyway, to do the best we can to at least be an example of some kind. And hopefully you can be an example of freedom in that way. But, you know, everyone's free to do it however they want. I'm not saying you should do it the way we're doing it. But I love how, you know, Andy having a sign up or wear a mask. And some people wear them and just because they don't want to cause waves, you know, that's a possibility. But then they say, but I won't ever get the vaccine. So, you know, we all have to draw the line where we want to. And I do think that the most important thing in all of it is the vegan message. And if we don't get our culture to go vegan, you know, we keep planting these seeds of domination, exploitation of animals, of microchipping them, of vaccinating them, of stealing their babies, of imprisoning them. And we have government officials talking about doing the same thing to humans. You know, they're just bald saying the same thing. You know, your children are not your children, and you don't have medical freedom, and you don't have personal freedom. But the good thing is that there's a lot of pushback. You know, I just read an article right before we came on that Governor Newsom has faced one defeat after another in the courts, and I think think it's important for us to keep the vegan movement alive by remembering that vegan liberation requires human liberation too. I mean, we have to be free to be able to gather and express and worship and do things. You know, if we're imprisoned, we can't be a voice for animals effectively, and we'd be shut down. We won't be able to communicate. So these are really big issues, and I'm glad to see that, like Andy was saying, there are more people realizing, as the word gets out, that something's definitely not right here. And maybe, as Tammy was saying, we have, I feel it too, actually, a very, you know, positive energy coming into the planet for liberation, that we are actually on some perhaps absolutely unstoppable way maturing and developing in our human consciousness. We are waking up in sort of this desperate attempt to stop the awakening that's inevitable, but it is happening. I think it is inevitable. I mean, our true nature is compassion and awareness and love and wisdom. And living that, I think, is our dharma. All of us know that at a deep level. So I think for vegan activists, we're, in many ways, I think we are the vanguard. And for us to be an example, as best we can, of living this in a way that is empowering for other people. And that's always the challenge. So those are some of the things we noticed. I wanted to mention... Mm-hmm. One other quick thing, last time we were together was back in November, and then we did have the one in early December, the meditation, and then we went right down to Hippocrates. And so Hippocrates is, some of you are aware of Hippocrates Health Institute, it's a vegan, healing institute where people come from traditionally all over the world with cancer and heart disease and diabetes and all kinds of diseases, or just to clean out. And they serve only organic sprouts and vegetables. And it's really a very rigorous program, but it's a beautiful place. It's many acres of gorgeous trees and pools and fountains and buildings and all kinds of alternative modalities, energy systems and massage and hot and cold and sauna and beyond anything really you can imagine. I mean, they have everything there, alternative. And of course, the AMA hates them. they've been trying to close down Hippocrates for years, but it just keeps going. And they almost closed down in March and April because they just couldn't, nobody could get in, but they were able to just barely hang on and keep going. And so they're still going, and we were there for about a week, I guess. And, we gave a lecture, which was the first time I could actually give a lecture with people in the audience since last March. And then we gave a concert. And the nice thing is that, you know, nobody wears masks. It's a total great community of people that are there to heal, and it's like a little island of sanity within a crazy world, just being there, you know, because all the people that are there, that's just the way it is. So actually what happened after that, we gave a public lecture in West Palm Beach in the city, put on by Phil Nikozisis, who's a Wilpisai facilitator, and Plant Forward, which is a vegan restaurant. So we actually gave a Wilpisai lecture in a restaurant to a bunch of people. Some of them were wearing masks, some of them weren't. It was, you know, sort of a public place, but we gave a lecture there. And then now we've been invited to go back to Hippocrates. And so we're going to go back in a couple of days, probably on Tuesday, and we'll probably be there for about a month, I think. We're kind of just negotiating with them, and we'll just be giving lectures to all the people come through. You know, every week they have a new crop of people coming for healing, and we'll be giving lectures and concerts. Madeline's been selling a lot of her wrist warmers. They all love her wrist warmers. She's knitting right now. Look, here she is. Are you there?
Yay, hello. I'm knitting. Good to see you, everybody.
Yeah, that's Madeline's. Madeline's knitting away on the bed here at my sister's house. But anyway, so the whole idea is, try to do the best we can to share the vegan message where we can, and then of course doing it online or doing it by writing or doing, you know, we all have to be creative and find ways of doing it. And I love the idea of having mastermind groups writing books, like Judy Carman has got this wonderful book, Homo Ahimsa. Tammy Hayes got two or three books coming out. So I think anything we can do to help share this message, you know, we really need to do. And I'm very grateful for places like Hippocrates, where they have the courage and the tenacity to actually have a program and be willing to, you know, under tremendous pressure from the pharmaceutical medical industry, they've been fighting them for years. And so many people come there and eat this healthy vegan food and get healed. Paul McCartney's wife, Heather Mills. I remember interviewing Heather Mills for the Vegan Palooza back in 2013, and she talked about how she was so sick she was going to die, and she went to Hippocrates, and within a few weeks she was healed. You know, she was healed, and she went on to all kinds of great things. She has many vegan companies now that she's running. So it's a fantastic place. We meet amazing people from Europe that were there and doing great things. And we actually met a very interesting guy from Asheville, North Carolina, who's starting he just bought 140 acres of land outside Asheville. It's a lot of land. He wants to make a vegan retreat center there, or healing center. So we're going to maybe go by that and see what he's up to there after when we leave Florida, maybe in February or whenever that is, go back to California. So we'll keep you all posted about what's happening. But I think, you know, it's neat to see that there has been some opportunities. It's kind of difficult. Madeline and I just love doing public lectures. And as you know, I've done over 4,000 over the last 35 years all over the world. And to not be able to do public lectures, we tried to get the Tampa Vegan Society but they didn't want to do a public lecture, but I'm thinking we can maybe get a few of the other ones while we're here to agree to it. We'll see. Florida is a little bit more open, I think, than other states. So if you guys have any thoughts or ideas, just let us know. It's one of those times, it's kind of like the Wild West. We have to just sort of make, the rules are changing all the time. And we just have to make our own rules, I think, and see what happens. For me, it's always been a little bit like, instead of asking for permission, I just ask for forgiveness if I broke a rule, and try to, in the meantime, do what I can to be a voice for animals and for human animals too, who are really suffering right now during this whole thing. And just to see the economic devastation of families that took 20, 30, 40 years to build up businesses and have them just destroyed left and right. It's really heartbreaking, actually. I think something good will come out of it. So we're now kind of getting close to the end. I'm glad we could share some of those ideas. Does anyone have any final thing? Yes, Anne, would you like to say something?
I would love to see Andy's mask.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
Oh!
The problem is she's
on phone. Can I send it somewhere or post it?
If you took a picture of every side of it and maybe posted it on the facilitator,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one and Vegan Spirit. And I forgot I was going to add. I wanted to add one more thing. I actually just received a box that I ordered from PETA of animal experimentation and veganism. And, Will, I know you know I ordered those T-shirts that say something like, we've now become the animals that we've been, you know, experimenting on or eating for years.
Uh-huh.
Exploiting for it. So in 2020 we are now the animals, and I'm wearing that T-shirt like all the time. And now I got these experiments, literature flyers, because I'm going to these different events. Like Del Bigtree was just here on Saturday. And, you know, big event there. He spoke and some other people. Peggy Hall speaking in an event on Saturday. So I've mainly been bringing my flyers, but now I want to bring the
animal experiment and vegan flyers because I want people to make that connection. So I just got these flyers, but also just to let you know, I also, not to Del Bigtree personally, but his assistant, I gave him one of your books as well. I don't know if he'll ever read it.
I wish
not,
Del Bigtree would read The World Peace Diet, but I, you know.
I know. Well, I gave it to his assistant who was there handling information for him. So, but, and as much as I'd love to bring your book to everyone, I thought it would be more affordable if I just got the experiment literature and just gave it to everybody. But, yeah, so that's my hope, is that I can help them make the connection that if we didn't allow this crazy, horrific animal experimentation all these years, they wouldn't have been able to get away with all they're doing right now. So, I, you know, I'm already connected with all these people, so I'm hoping I can, you know, help wake them up. But anyway, thank you for everything. I'm just loving hearing all of this. So yeah, I have to remember to post my, my big sign on the, World Peace Diet things. So thank you, Will, so much. Yes?
This is Judy.
Yes.
If you would post your handout too, the one that you created on the website.
Yes.
We could all make copies and hand those out.
Definitely. I started doing this from day one. Like the instant this happened, I'm like, who's gonna believe that? And then when suddenly everybody's wearing these masks, I'm like, oh, these people have been listening to Big Pharma for years. I forgot.
Right.
But it's like there's no common sense left.
Right.
So, but anyway, hopefully, I hope whoever it was that said that this awakening's going to happen, I couldn't hear the name, but I sure hope that happens. I hope. But anyway, yes, yeah, so I will post all of these things. Thank you.
Great.
And one more thing, Tammy. Okay. Tammy, you were telling us about the seminar you're taking. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Let me try to find the link.
Be able to just have a look. If you have a link, that'd be great.
Yeah, and I know it's on Salish's, Climate Healers.
Yeah.
I know it's on there. I've just been going in a certain way. And I just want to say Hippocrates was a place where I healed really, really advanced stages of Crohn's. I was very, very sick. So I took out a little remortgage on my house because it's pretty expensive. But I went there so sick. I used to be a long distance runner, and I went there so sick I couldn't even walk the beach. And I went for half an hour run after 3 weeks. So.
What a great story. Yeah, there's so many stories like that. That's so wonderful. You know, it's like they educate, and then you eat this living food. And, yeah.
Well, and the kid that I shared my room with, she was a young woman and 25 years old, and she had psoriasis so bad they just covered her body, and she just wasn't going anywhere. Her skin was like for 2 or 3 years, and both of her parents were physicians, and they would just kept putting her on steroids and all kinds of stuff. So finally, she went to Hippocrates. She said she wanted to go to Hippocrates. And 3 weeks later, her skin was like brand new. You know, still that kind of red, brand new baby skin. But all the psoriasis were gone in 3 weeks. It's
wow.
Crazy. I mean, you know, I tell people, you know, it was kind of my beginning. I said when I wasn't drinking wheatgrass, I was shooting it up my butt. So.
Yeah.
But it worked. It worked.
So thank you. Yeah, you're right. I mean, when we go to Hippocrates and we sit down at the table and talk to the people from the Netherlands who had breast cancer and it went away, or like you say, who had horrible skin problems, or all kinds of things. Usually they go there when the mainstream medical just doesn't work anymore for them, or they know better, you know, so they go there. But yeah, so. It's kind of an adventure. We'll see how it goes. We'll be there probably for about a month, I think, but we're not sure. We really don't know. We'll see how it goes. All right. So I think it's really probably about time for us to wrap it up here. My mother is holding better than we thought. You know, we came kind of rushing out here thinking that she could go any second. And we've been here now back for a number of days and playing the piano. And she seems to be holding pretty strong in a certain way. She's on oxygen all the time, but she is eating. And today we were actually able to have someone come in and look after her while Madeline and I and Laura, my sister, and her husband Kevin went over to the Silver River, which is a Silver Spring, and we kayaked for a couple of hours there and canoed, and we were able to really just sort of be completely bathed in nature and birds. I mean, so many ibises and anhingas and cormorants and ducks and manatees were up there. I've never seen manatees in the Silver River, but they almost tipped over our boat at one point. I mean, this one manatee came, and I guess we surprised them. The manatee came up and almost, I guess she just came up and we were right there. And we saw otters and lots of beautiful animals. It's a crystal clear water, so you can see all the fishes swimming around. It's a really beautiful place. So it's always good, I think, to do the best we can to take time to reconnect with nature. You know, that's one of the things that is so important to be healthy, I think, is to connect with the beauty of the forests and the rivers and the oceans and the mountains and the animals, the free living animals living their lives. Madeline had a neat experience the other day, yesterday morning, I guess it was, where, you know, we always jog down to this canal where it's kind of a wilderness area here. There's water everywhere in Florida. There's lakes and streams just everywhere. And there's these sandhill cranes, these beautiful sandhill cranes. They're everywhere. I mean, they're just like in everybody's yard. They're walking around and they make these very loud calls and everybody loves them. You know, they're very dignified. They don't bother anybody. They don't, nobody has any problem with it. Everybody really loves them. Even the redneck people, they all love the sandhill crane. But as we were walking along, and she really saw it when she was by herself, especially, there was a sandhill crane that kept picking up a pine cone and throwing it in the air, flapping her wings, and then picking it up again and throwing it in the air and flapping her wings and picking it up and throwing it. And it looked like she was just playing and having a good time. I'm not sure if that's what she was doing, but Madeline thought, you know, she's just playing around and having fun. And that's one of the things that we saw today. It seemed like to me, anyway. It seemed like, you know, the animals are hanging out together. They seem to be so harmonious, especially all these birds, enjoying their lives, and to just realize there's a lot of beauty in this world. And however nutty it gets, to hold a vision and give thanks for the vision that we have of a healthy vegan world, a world of peace and compassion for animals. And just hold that thought and hold that vision and live that. And every day we can breathe into that. And every day at noon, please join Judy and me and Lily. I know a lot of you do this already with our special prayer that we say, which is compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. So let's just close by saying that together. Thanks, everyone. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings
everywhere.
One last time. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Well, that's the truth. And we know that. We give thanks for that. And we look forward to our time together in January. I'm not exactly sure which day of, I'm looking at my calendar here, but I don't think I have it. Here it is. I got my January little thing here. So it'll be January 21st. My gosh, that's the day after January 20th, which is the day that the new president will be in office. So I guess we'll find out what all happens. By the third Thursday of January, we'll all see what happens. We're in really exciting times. You know, everybody's saying anything can happen. So let's just really continue to hold a vision of truth and light and justice and freedom for all beings. Thanks again, everyone. Much love to you all, and have a great month. And we'll see you probably we'll do the first Thursday of January also, probably from Hippocrates. All righty. Thanks again, everyone. And I'll try to type up these notes and put it on the Facebook groups and send it out as an email to everyone as well. Great. Great information. Thanks, Marlene. And thanks, Tammy. And thanks, Judy and Andy and everybody, Lily. And all of you, goodbye. Take care. Much love. See you next time. Bless you all.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Much love. Thanks.